two things that I always want you to remember as we go through this. We were trying to be more like Christ-like. And the other thing, this is a love story about you. And so when you think about everything that Christ is going through and doing through his life, it's all because of you that he's done this. And we'll talk about that more later on in our sermon. Sermon's not going to be an easy sermon when I speak this morning. It's one of those difficult ones. It's one of those things that we're going to struggle with. It's one of those areas that it's going to create frustration with us and stuff like that. But we can learn how he taught the disciples how to handle that. Maybe that's the way we're going to learn, is of how Jesus taught the disciples how to handle that issue. So where are we at in Christ's life right at this point? He began his ministry where? At the water. That's where he began his ministry, even though Mary, his mother, tried to do it earlier to get him to turn water into wine, and said, and Jesus told her then,
My time is not yet.
Because God had a plan. And to the point where God came down and descended and recognized Jesus at the water, that was the beginning of his ministry. Where did our ministry begin?
At the water.
As soon as we become baptized, our ministry begins. We're now part of Christ. That's when we are a disciple for Christ. So that's why we're going to get a lot out of this when we talk about disciples and how that the struggles they went through. Some will be the struggles you'll go through. That's through their learning process. They're stubborn like we're stubborn. They don't quite get it sometimes like we don't quite get it. And you'll see how Jesus, throughout these lessons, puts things in place and shows them, and we've read right over them, but it shows them things that we'll stick with them later. And hopefully we can, as we tell our kids, if you can learn from our mistakes, your life will be a whole lot easier. If we can learn from the disciples' mistakes, our life will be a whole lot easier. So we'll talk about that. So, Jesus is now, what is he now doing? Did any of y'all look at your lessons or studied a little bit? He's doing his ministry. He's going out preaching and teaching and healing and taking care of the people, but he's also what at this point?
Recruiting.
Huh?
Recruiting.
Recruiting, I like that, because that's exactly what, at this point he has a couple people already that were John the Baptist's followers that kind of went into going on, waiting for this moment and recognized that Jesus was, so he's starting to recruit his 12 disciples. So he's doing this. This ministry is mentioned in the Old Testament, where he's going to be and where he's going to start off with. So this all what we talked about was predicted. But we'll discuss this more towards the end of the class. But we're going to talk later on in this morning's class. And you can find it in Mark chapter 1, around through 1 through, I think, pretty much, I think it's towards the end of the chapter, about this incident, which we're going to read here in a few minutes, with Paul. His interaction with how he interacted and his interaction with Paul when he became a disciple. So let's talk as a class for a couple of minutes about Jesus' teaching. How did they take his teaching? Except for one group of people that Jesus went and faced twice, how did they perceive Jesus?
They were amazed.
They were amazed that he had a teaching of authority and a teaching among the people. So what do you think is happening at this point? He's not only teaching with authority and they're amazed at what he's teaching, but as he goes along, he's healing the lepers, the dumb, who's able to speak. You know, we talked about that a few weeks ago. When he healed like perfect. And we talked about the dumb was able to sing.
And it was instantly.
That dumb person, if he was here today and was able to speak and sing, he would take American Idol and blow that out of the water. Because God, when he fixed something, it's right. Because it talks about the lame, when they were able to walk, they not only walked, they ran like a deer. As to how to describe it. So people are seeing people who have been lame for years, some of them most of their lives, people who cannot speak. And they're listening to him and he's having an authority. They're just going, wow. I know that person. He's been on the side of the road or on the side of this water for years, not able to move, and now he's running like a deer. So what do you think is happening with the crowd that he's having?
And there is a bunch of them.
Go ahead.
One of the things we learned in a lesson in the Sojourners in Florida was that when the Greek word for the way he had healed a lot of them, the Greek word, the meaning behind it is that what Jesus did, he healed, but what he's doing is he's restoring them to the way it should be. And so that's why a lot of the healings that took place were better than they were before they got sick. Were straighter or not broken or could see better. Whatever the illness is better than before because he put it the way it should be, the way it originally should have been, your body should be. And to me, that's such a deeper meaning than just getting well. Okay, now yeah, I can go out and break it again. Well, we shouldn't, but it's better than it was. And that's why they had all that energy. That's why they were so joyful. That's why they were so excited when Jesus came to town, because they were looking for a Messiah to do this for them.
And that's the whole point. All this was predicted for thousands of years prior that this was going to occur, that this Savior was coming, that he was going to heal people, he was going to do this way. You got to imagine, even in today's modern miracles that we have with the doctors today, what they're able to do compared to what they did 20 years ago, 50 years ago, they still cannot put the body to its full newness.
That's right. But Jesus could.
No matter what they do, no matter what surgery they do, they can never put the body back to its original state.
Mm-hmm.
But just like you said, Christ was able to do that. Now you go back to that period of time when they didn't have doctors like we have today, where we kind of write it off as, hey, oh yeah, they were able to walk. They just go to the doctor and put him a few braces and heal his leg for a few months and he can be able to walk again. They didn't have the ability back then. Most people, when they had an injury, they were crippled for life. Or so when Jesus came along and started healing these people, and put them back into an original state, that is something that was never done and never seen.
Yeah. Rehab, not required.
Rehab is not required.
Rehab.
Rehab.
I like that.
And most of those people, Jesus healed them, what he tells
them.
What was the question now? I had something in my mind here. I was just gonna say that, you know, most of the males were educated in the what Isaiah or all of the prophets before them had to say about Jesus. So it makes me wonder when they seen all these things happening, don't you think they did comparison? Wait a minute, we read about somebody's going to come and do this, and probably wanted to hear more and get to know him more,
mm-hmm.
and better understand. I think because of this, he won so many followers.
And the other thing is the expectation. You can read about the Messiah coming. You can hear, I can tell you the story, but I think he blew the expectations out of the water when he came. The way he spoke, the way he healed. They were expecting, okay, the Messiah that was coming to make a difference, but when Jesus came, they weren't expecting that much of a Messiah, that much of a power, that much of authority, when the ability he's had. So even those who knew the word were not expecting what they were getting ready to see.
Well, and then he came not arrogant like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He came as a humble servant, and I don't think they were expecting that. They were expecting a really earthly, powerful
king.
Mm-hmm. They were expecting somebody to have that humanly-type characteristic and ability, not somebody that had a godly characteristic and ability. Because I can't imagine you can write down predicting. You can say what he's able to do, but to put it in and see it would be like totally, like, just blown away. Go to somewhere in the world that you've never seen before, and somebody describes it and say how beautiful it is. When I went up to the mountains of New York, I could describe to you and give you pictures, but it does not give you justice to what I was able to see, mountaintop upon mountaintop upon mountaintop to where I sat, and see the clouds within it. And I can do all kinds of describing, but until you sit there and see it, it's amazing. And I think that's what they had. The question I asked earlier, what did Jesus tell the ones he healed, most of the ones he healed?
He usually was almost like a command, get up and walk, or take your bed, get up and take your bed and walk.
Or go tell, he tell them, go tell them, don't tell,
and don't tell nobody about it.
Yeah, don't tell.
I've been lame for 20 years,
and
I'm running like a deer. I can hold that back.
But why did he say that?
I think he wanted them to focus on, Jesus was focusing on them, not to try to show that it was more of a personal event. That Jesus wanted a relation with them, not to prove, hey, show to everybody else, my perspective, everybody else, hey, look, I'm trying to make this a big deal. You need to focus on the wrong issue. Jesus, when he had these interaction with individuals, were personal interactions. And I think that's what he was trying to tell them. Look, I'm just doing this because I know the state that you're in. So I think it was more of a personal interaction than trying to be a public at that point.
Wasn't it also because his time hadn't come? If they had put all that glory on it, it would have brought him and wanted to make him an earthly king and put him on a throne and all that sort of thing. I think the Lord wanted them to give God the glory, not himself, and not to make him out to be... he was a humble servant. He was there to do for those people all he could, but he didn't want it to get out and explode. We would want it to. We'd want to throw a party. We'd want to let the news know. We'd want to put it on TV. You know, all that sort of thing. And we just wanted to keep it where they would give God the glory and reflect on the healing, reflect on what God had done for them.
And that's the point.
My opinion.
Yeah. that's the point. It's supposed to be more personal and to understand where it came from more than to, hey, I want to be king on earth. And that's what it would have developed. Oh. If he would have had that attitude and spread out, he could have literally been a king in a week.
I know.
Yeah, because of what he was doing.
Well,
but that wasn't the purpose of what his father wanted.
Plus, he didn't want hordes of people coming to him to be healed for all their ailments without faith. You know, I mean, he could have made could have been a big circus, you know, over hordes of people coming to him just because.
And I like how you put it, because we'll talk about in the worship center how faith came in part of that healing, part of that requirement that it required faith. Because some people, honestly, didn't get healed because of their faith.
Exactly.
Well, I think Jesus wanted the people to more focus on what he had to tell them about the good news that he came to preach to them. And it's because by listening to what he had to say, faith came. And he didn't want it to come because of the healing. He wanted that to come because of trying to build some faith in him on the people by what he had to say. You know, and the commandments he gave them and the things that would be pertinent in the new Christian age to what the Jews were doing in the Old Testament. This year is now going to become a whole new different outlook on how to worship God and on how to deal with things versus to the way it used to be.
There was definitely a difference in what the Pharisees and
Sadducees were teaching
compared to what Christ was teaching.
Yeah, and he needed for the people to hear that versus focusing on, look what I did right now.
Let's look at his interaction, earlier on interaction with Capernaum. What's the city of Capernaum? Because that's going to come into play if I pronounce it right. What was that city? It'll come into play later. What was that city known for?
Seaport,
fishing. Known for fishing. It was a fishing city. So let's look at that. He went at the Sea of Galilee, where he was teaching them on the Sabbath, and they were astonished at his teaching, for the words precede authority, not the teachers of the law. This came from authority. Those who were teaching prior to him were teaching about the law.
Exactly.
The knowledge of the law. The way that Jesus taught and the way he came across, he just came across as the one having authority. Why? Because he was. Now, that's going to create two issues. The two issues that it's going to create is you're going to have a big following, and you're going to have a bunch of people who want to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Well, it was the same as in the Old Testament. The scribes and the Pharisees taught, these are the rules, you obey the rules. God gave, people in the Old Testament rules, but their hearts weren't in it. So Jesus taught from the heart, from the Word of God. His heart was in that. Love was in that.
Exactly.
It wasn't just do this because God said so, because the Pharisees said so.
Now, 2 points that we've been working off of through this class so far. To be more like Christ-like and that love story. That puts those two together because that's what we need to be when we teach. We need to have our heart in it when we teach to others. We're not just banging down a law on somebody and saying, you have to obey this. If you don't, you'll die and have that. We're teaching as the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all of them taught. They taught with teaching of a law and not a love story. Well, you've taken a different approach. You're going to have a bigger impact. Jesus had a huge following shortly on. And that's where we got to be Christ-like, just like you taught. We got to put our heart. If your heart's not into it, you're not going to make a difference.
Again, we learned that unfortunately over time they become hardened. They got lost in the knowledge, but forgot the love. Again, someone can have all the facts in the world and be able to spot them out, but if there's no compassion, we can tell. Like with doctors, for example, there's some doctors out there have horrible bedside manners. And unfortunately, Christians can be like that too. That they know what the scriptures say, but they've forgotten the elemental fact that Christ is love first. And again, back to even though they had the scriptures, way back in Isaiah 53, they had these writings where it says, who has believed our messenger, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquity. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed.
And that's one of the very verses that I used in my first class. What Christ is going to be like. The Church of Christ is known for knowing the body. I would love for us to be known on how we love others. Because we got to know the scriptures, because we got to know what we're teaching is right. Sometimes I think knowing, having the knowledge, but not using it properly makes a huge difference. We have an advantage because we do know the Bible. We can apply it like Christ applies it. Not like the scholars and the Sadducees and them that taught the word. If we could do it like Christ did it, we'd have a bigger impact. And that's one of the things that we need to learn on. How did Christ teach and preach? How did he get such a great following? Some of them, to be honest with you, brought them because they just wanted to see the show. We'll talk about that in later on lessons. But some of them were there just to see him heal, just for the show. Because there would be a point when Jesus speaks, they'll tell them that this is how it is if you don't like it. And there'll be a great group of them that will leave because his teaching is too hard.
I think Jesus was mainly looking for conviction of the heart. In John 16:8, it says that the Holy Spirit would come and convict the world of sin. God is constantly trying to refine our heart, our mind, and our lives to be more pure. As he convicts us of things in our heart, we have to look at our first response. And I think that is so, and that's what Christ was aiming at, and that's why he didn't want them focused so much on the miraculous healings. It's to convict that heart, to fertilize that faith, to keep it growing and keep it going. That's the main point that Christ was trying to bring out.
So, who did Jesus have authority over? Or what did he have authority over?
Everything.
An example of that we can read is the miracle that happened in the city. Now in the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of unclean demon. He cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." The demons, the devil, knew who that Jesus was.
Yeah.
And when he saw them, what did they do? They got afraid. What are you coming to do, to destroy us? So, because they know that Christ had the power even over them. Mm-hmm. And for to see that. But what did Jesus tell him?
Be
quiet. Jesus, come out of him. And the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. I like that. I mean, when the demon came out, he couldn't even hurt the guy when he threw him on the ground. Because it tells us there was no injury. I can imagine Satan leaving out of there and trying to throw the man down to the ground and have one last thing, but not an injury occurred. Because Jesus is going to make sure that you're protected when you are dealing with Satan. That he can't harm you. that Jesus is going to take care of him. So he even has a power over the demons. And these people were facing these. This seemed to be, from when we read through scriptures, was a common issue, because there's multiple incidents we read through scriptures where Jesus faced the demons and they were cast out. They went into the pigs, remember the pigs, the swine that ran away and went off the cliff they went. You had the one that we'll talk about more in the sermon for a short period of time, where the disciples were facing a child with a demon and they couldn't get that demon out of that child. Even though they were given the same power, and I won't go into too much detail because I don't want to take away from the sermon, but even though they had the power to do it, they were unable to do it. Jesus had to do it. There's a whole point to that we'll talk about that during the sermon. But he had the power over it, and these people were seeing that somebody possessed like that nobody could get out of the person. They were left alone, pushed aside, like leprosy. And this man comes and heals this person. Demons. And what kind of person is that going to be after the demon left that was said earlier?
Perfect.
Sound mind.
Sound body.
Somebody that the whole city looked at was crazy and doing all kinds of weird stuff. And some of the scriptures describe some of the stuff that they did that just were craziness. But this was a person that came out sound mind and intelligent, like there was nothing ever happened to him and nothing wrong. That's the power that he had. And we kind of read over these things, not wrapping our minds fully around what had just occurred when we did these things. We kind of read them and say, oh yeah, he's got the demon out. But we got to put it in perspective. How were they afterwards? And when we go get baptized, what does that do to us? We're in a new body. We're renewed. We have a fresh beginning, a fresh start. Spiritually, we're perfect. And then we mess it up. But God, Christ's blood continues to wash us away, and we become perfect again. But that's the state our spiritual life is put into by following, doing what Christ wants for us. Going on through Luke chapter 4, verse 36 and 37, and all the people were amazed, saying to each other, what is this teaching and authority and the power he gives orders to evil spirits? They come out, and the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. What do you think his followings happened? Doesn't tell us numbers other than we talk about when he fed the 5,000, but to me that was probably a regular thing, a regular event. Can you imagine walking down the road and having groups of people who are following you to the size of like 5,000 people following you down as you travel? And the people, as he goes to the cities, people are going, what the world is going on here? And I want to see what's going on. The crowd that he's growing as he's getting his disciples together.
And the thing about it that really gets me is that you can fight all the different diseases and do the best you can to heal the bodily diseases, but evil spirits, you can't touch them. I don't know why or where they come from. I mean, we know that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's nothing you can, it's tangible, nothing you can wrap a band-aid around. It's in you to do whatever they want, and that's the scary part. And to me, that should have really grabbed more attention than anything else, is knowing that Satan and his powerful demons they can't hold the candle to the Lord. And so that's even more to me of a miracle, that they can come out by just his word speaking. And they recognized him.
Yeah, that had to be a huge event.
That had to be
a huge event for them to see something they knew that was that crazy and they were scared to death of, something they were scared, literally scared to even get around. First of all, back then they probably felt that, hey, they could jump over to me, or it's or they would do harm to me. Mm-hmm. All that worries, and he was able to, that demon talked out of him, recognizing that he was the Son of God. To everybody saying, I know who you are. To me, it's like, whoa. I mean, him to be speak that way. I know who you are. You come here to destroy me. No, just leave. Mm-hmm. Leave this man alone.
The man possessed at the tombs, you know, where he got rid of the demons into the pigs. Mm-hmm. But there, the people were scared. Mm-hmm. They wanted him to leave. Mm-hmm. I mean, that had to be, like Kathy was saying, such a powerful thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, to get rid of demons.
Yeah.
Who is that?
Right.
Who does that?
Yeah, and I think...
no normal human being can do that.
But it scared him, so they didn't want him to come back. That just blows my biscuits. How could they do such a thing?
They didn't know how to react.
Right. They didn't understand.
It was fear.
Yeah, they didn't understand what was going on. Hit his man.
But he's take normal.
Me, just...
happy man.
Yeah, but he's not...
Oh.
Jesus is not normal.
Yeah. He's better.
He is not normal.
Right.
No way, no how.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have been afraid. Mm-hmm. You know, these demons running in something that I eat?
You're not anymore.
And all know. My hurry go across the, you know, fell in the ocean and I was going to eat? Yeah, I'm going to be afraid of that. And who are you? Who is this that you know, that can do this? Yes, I would have been afraid. They was afraid because they did not understand
what
was going on.
Right, you know that.
So I think if they
had tried to understand,
look at us today.
Look at us today.
There's a lot of things we should do because we're supposed to know Christ, but we don't because we don't always fully understand what's happening. You know, you have to sit back, and you have to act so I understand,
right?
You know, if they knew how to act, you know, show, you know, what's going on here? You know, they didn't even know Jesus, so that's why it was mind-boggling, like, whoa.
And
you know,
recall that story. It talks about how they were terrorizing the people.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
they were afraid of that individual because that individual was going through the town terrorizing the people. And now that's gone.
Well, I was just going to remark on, first of all, Jesus didn't want to reveal who he was, and that's why he shushed the demons not to say anything. And Jesus needed to teach them where to go to have help when you're afraid, to go, who to go to when you were need. It was almost like you're teaching a baby to grow up. Jesus had to teach them how to grow up in faith. They were unknowing because they were so still hung up in the old law that Jesus kind of basically had to start from the beginning to teach them again. And I think that's one of the reasons why he doesn't want anybody to know who he is. And how many times has he, for example, look, he taught them how to pray. Mm-hmm. You know, he taught them to how to get access to God, that they can pray personally, that they don't need nobody else to do that for them. He taught them as if we would teach a baby.
Carla, you had your hand up.
I don't know, maybe I should just continue to listen, because if it was written, so I got notes that, okay, this is going to happen, and the foretelling of Jesus, and the authorities and people knew about it, because we were taught about it, and something unclean spirits are saying, they look at Jesus and they are calling him the Son of God. They're saying his name. Why is the people not inquisitive just to want to know? So that's where my problem is coming into. So many people are not inquisitive enough to want to know. And maybe that's why, I don't know, because that's where I'm having a hard time. Because maybe in my life, I was inquisitive to want to know. I understood Jesus didn't want it, it wasn't his time. I understood he wanted them to be quiet. But they're not nosy enough to just want to know.
Or were the people close enough to hear?
Leslie's going to answer your question.
I think one of the things we're all talking about, and it's, we're not grasping that either, like the people didn't grasp it at that time. They had the knowledge of knowing that somebody was coming.
Right.
He was coming, he was going to be powerful enough to be able to do certain things, and everything that was predicted, Jesus was able to do. But they didn't know what he was going to look like and how he was going to be, how he was going to carry himself. And they were expecting everything to be different than what they saw. Mm-hmm. And when they saw this, they couldn't grasp it. They wasn't ready for that. They was, in their mind, they was expecting him to be, he's going to be somebody that's going to come here like a big king, the kings that we know. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's going to conquer this, all of the Romans, and he's going to turn things around, and we're going to know him when we see him, because he's going to have this great army behind him. He didn't come like that. He came as a humble person, just like anybody else. Nobody could even know who he was unless somebody told him. And the people that followed him, were following him because of the things that he could do and what he could give them, a lot of them. But Jesus was trying to get a message to them that you need to change the way in which you live. You said there's two things that we had to focus on. One of the things was he was going to get people to follow him because of what he did, but he was also going to create enemies because of what he did. Uh-huh. They knew about people with demons. They knew about people that were crazy. So did the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the priests. But did nobody do nothing about it? They didn't take no crazy person to no Sadducee or Pharisee or to a priest. The priest didn't have to do the priest, some of y'all need to stay away from them, you know. But uh-huh. Jesus came and handled the situation and then told them, this is what you need to do. And not that he did anything of his own, everything he did was for his Father. And he was trying to relay that to them, that they need to learn about his Father and comply with what his Father's wishes were, not what Jesus was wanting to do. Because one thing he wanted to do was do the will of his Father.
Correct. Yeah. Y'all remember this conversation right here when we start preaching later on. Y'all hold tight to this conversation, because the ones that rejected him, remember that conversation, because it's going to play a big part, because it affects us today. The ones that we get rejected by, the tough conversations that we get rejected by, there were followers that were following Jesus to see what occurred. There were followers who wanted, like Carla, that really wanted to know, because this was, he had teaching of authority. It wouldn't spell it out that way if they didn't recognize it that way. And there were some that were upset because he's now taking over their authority, their role, their power, their ability. So you had a mixture in the crowd. Some were just there for the show. Some of them were there because they were really impressed and wanted to know more. And there were some were there, man, this guy's taking my job. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's taking a whole lot more than your job.
Yeah.
But there was a... Jesus was now becoming a threat to certain people. And he's about to teach that lesson to the disciples that he's now gathering as he goes along.
I just want to add one little tidbit. The fact that as we carry ourselves as Christians, we are a threat to people too that don't want to conform to what they should be wanting to conform to. We're not supposed to be we're not supposed to be like the world, we're supposed to be of the world, is not to be like what we see. We're supposed to be different, set apart. And when we live that way, people don't notice us, and then we try to tell them, you've got to change your way. That's a threat to them because they don't want to change. But we're going to face the same thing as Christians.
All right. I want to leave you with one more area to talk about. It'll take about 2 minutes, so I'll be over by 2 minutes. When Jesus met Simon Peter at the side of the water, you all know that story. Jesus came to teach, and he said to Simon Peter, he saw the boat, can you take your boat out a little bit further so I can speak? So Simon Peter's in that crowd, listening to Jesus speak, listening to his authority. He's one of those people that's, he's it. Yeah. And Jesus goes out and preaches. And when he comes back in off the water, he tells Simon Peter to go back out into the water and cast your nets out into the water. He tells Jesus, look, I've been out there all night. I ain't caught nothing. It's not a good day for fishing, Jesus. I'm a fisherman. I know. I know how to fish, and I'm telling you, it's not good. So he does, because he doesn't listen to Jesus. He's already hooked. He's already knows that this is the Savior. So I'm going to do it because you told me. So he goes out there and casts his nets. What occurred? Overflowing so much he had to call for help. And it filled up two boats full of fish. Full of fish. And Jesus told him what? I'm going to make you a fisherman of what?
Of men.
Men. You know, Simon Peter has this boat and has this lifestyle, and he gets up and leaves it all and follows Jesus. But you know what Jesus did with that moment that just hit me as I went through the study again? I've done this lesson several years ago in the class. But you know what struck me about Jesus doing that? Because he had Peter hooked. He could have told Peter right then and there, because he told Peter, he says, look, because you told me to, I'm going out to that water. I know, because I'm a fisherman, there's no fish out there. He had him hooked. But he had a huge following. What did he just do? He just left plenty of food for every one of those people. Two boats full of fish that would make sure that he was taking care of not only their spiritual needs, but their physical needs. Because we'll talk about it later on, is when they, Jesus' journey, what did he carry with him?
Nothing.
He relied on that God would provide. And that's the way he teaches his disciples, that when they travel with him, they didn't carry anything. So this is one of those moments that God only took care of the spiritual needs, but took care of the physical needs. One other thing that you need to realize, and we'll talk about later on, when you're a fisherman, you don't catch every fish in the sea, do you? There's sometimes you don't catch nothing. Just like the Peter was going through there, and he fished all night. Sometimes in your life period, you have no effect on people. Did it stop him from fishing? No, he went back the next day and did the same thing. And you're not going to catch every fish. You're going to catch some of the fish. There could probably be like two boats full of fish that you missed out on.
Yeah.
That you just get, you are able to catch a handful of fish. You got to understand that concept. Especially as we begin our sermon this morning. Understand that concept. You're not going to catch every fish. You're not going to catch the fish that you want. You're not going to catch that big bass out of Jerry's pond every time. But you're going to make a difference. If you learn to be more Christ-like, you're going to make an impact. There'll be times when you don't catch anything. There'll be times when you only catch a few. But there'll be times when you fill up a whole boatload of fish in your life. And it'll be left for other people to be blessed with. So that's what we need to recognize when we're doing that. Because this morning's sermon, we're going to have a tough subject to talk about. Really tough one. For everybody in this room. Even for me. Especially for me. but you just got to understand a few concepts. All right, sorry for holding you over. I'm trying to narrow these slides down so they fit in that 45 minutes.